Welcome to The Outpouring with Executive Pastor Bob Oliver of the New Covenant Church of Philadelphia.
I've done a lot of praying about today's message. And I feel confident of what the Holy Spirit has given to me to share today. And the topic is, there can be big potential in little things and little people. I'm still overwhelmed with the fact of my pastor making me his helper when I was 11 years old. And we had about, it was vacation Bible school. I'm a vacation Bible school person. I'm a product of VBS. And by the way, since I'm saying that, this is not part of the message, but let me make an announcement. How many of you plan to work in vacation Bible school this year? Could you stand, please? Could you stand, please? Because it's a very powerful, life-transforming ministry. But there's something unique about serving in VBS, and you need to understand it. You may have the children come for the first day, and you may pray with them and teach them. But they're not coming back the second day because of the prayers or the message or the teachings. They're not coming back the second day because they like the church. They're coming back the second day because they like you. Don't forget it. Amen. And the way to get them to like you is to give them tasks and assignments so they have to come back tomorrow to let you know that they did their tasks. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Tasks and assignments. Because you may think, oh, they come back because they love the church, or they didn't come back because they didn't love the church. They will come back if you give them tasks and assignments. And they'll come back to let you know that they did it. That's just a tip. Thank you very much. That alone deserves a love offering, don't you think, Pastor? But my topic is, there can be big potential in little people and little things. Great potential in every child, every teenager, every adult, and every one of you here today. The devil would have us doubt our potential. He would have us think we're just ordinary in comparison to somebody else. But the truth is, we're not just ordinary. We're special. And if you don't feel you're special, no one will think you are. So you have to think and know that you're special and function as a person who is special, because it does make a difference. At age 11, my pastor saw something in me, 11 years old, and made me his helper, 11 years old. I didn't go back to that church the next day for VBS because I loved the church. I didn't go back to that church the next day because I liked the teaching. I went back the next day because of a relationship. I was his helper. And I felt I need to be there because I am his helper. And that's one of the things that my mother couldn't understand, because we were a Roman Catholic family. And why am I so stuck now in this new church? It wasn't the church, it wasn't the building, it wasn't the doctrine. It was the relationship. Relationship. This is why worship is part relationship. Relationship. If you worship and don't build relationships, you're missing what the church is. The church is a family. A family. And we greet family members. So if we have the benediction and you rush right out, you're missing what the church is. It's not the sermon that is preached, as good as a preacher is, and he's a good preacher. But it's also the relationships we build. Amen. And the friendships we build. Amen. The friendships. If I were to be, were to have an emergency at 2 o'clock in the morning, whom would I call? And if you were to have an emergency at 2 o'clock in the morning, who would you call? You would call the person who you honestly believe would respond to you. Amen. It's not the titles. No. It's the relationship. Yes. And if the relationship is there, you know you're not disturbing that person. Amen. Are you there? Yes. The person may say, who is that calling me at this hour? But once they pick up the phone and find out it's you, they say, what's happening? Yes. Relationships. Relationships. Are you there?
Yes.
Now, the truth is, I can end the sermon right there. Relationships. We are a family. We are a family. We are a family. And family members take time to interact with one another, build relationships, say, how are you doing, dear? How are you? We don't just rush out the door. Am I making sense?
Yes.
Okay. No, am I making dollars? I'm moving from sense. You know? I want you to know, deep down in my heart, that I love you. Do you believe that?
Yes.
I do. And I want you to know that deep down in my heart, I believe that you love me.
Yes.
I do. I really do. I honestly do. Love you very much. God has created a number of little things, and there is potential and value in those little things. I have something in a plastic bag right here, and I need Evan Baldy to count them because he's a smart person. He can count. Yeah?
The
him.
The male.
The male. Let me start at the female first. And then I'll see if you can confirm what she counted. Mm. How many objects are there in this bag?
Four. Yeah.
Hmm?
It's four.
Four. Will you confirm if she's correct?
Always.
Would you, do you have a love offering for him? Do you have a love offering for him? Always. Said always. There are four objects in this plastic bag. And what I have here are not just four objects, but I have four potential miracles in my hand. Each of these objects will produce a miracle, every one of them, each of them. So I'm holding in my hand four miracles. They will produce miracles right here. And you say, well, what could you have in your hand that are that would produce miracles? Miracles. Miracles. Could we have the first slide, please? It says, the slide, the first slide. Okay. These four things are acorns. And there's something that is fast asleep in every one of them. They are capable of doing miracles, but they're fast asleep. Fast asleep. I could apply that to ourselves. That we are capable of doing miracles, But many of us are fast asleep. And when you're fast asleep, you don't understand or can't comprehend your potential. Because why? You're sleeping. And these four acorns that I picked up in the grass on the campus under the oak tree, I went searching for them. They have potential to become miracles, but they're asleep. They're asleep. Just as human beings, we have the potential for miracles. But when you're asleep, you're not conscious of who you are until something in your body says, you better get up. I wouldn't say get up for what, but you better get up. And so you become conscious that you need to get up and go to the bathroom. Now you can decide not to get up. After all, it's a free country.
It's a free country.
But wisdom suggests that you get up because your body is talking to you. And so you respond. And you wake up. These four acorns in my hand are asleep. They're asleep. And because they're asleep, they cannot function based on their potential. Just as you and I cannot function based on our potential when we're sleeping. So for these four little acorns to function in their potential, they have to wake up. They have to wake up. Could we have the next slide, please? The next slide. Potential. 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 You have potential. You have potential. You have potential. You have potential. But you may be asleep. And when you're asleep, you're not aware of who you're not aware of who you are. And if you're not aware of who you are, you can't be aware of what your potential is.
Amen, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So then we have to figure out, if I can't be aware of who I am when I'm sleeping, and I can't be aware of what my potential is when I'm sleeping, then how in the world do I wake up? Because until I wake up, I don't know who I am. As a matter of fact, when you're sleeping, you don't even know where you are.
That's
right. I have to wake up. These four acorns will sleep and sleep and sleep and sleep until I position them to wake up. Until I position them to wake up. I found them on the campus, on the ground, under the big oak tree. Now, how do we position them to wake up? About 300 years ago, someone, we don't know who the someone is, had some acorns. And that person, and they were sleeping. And that person, whoever he was, or she was, positioned these acorns to wake up. And the person positioned them on a piece of land in Germantown, which we now call the New Covenant Campus.
Come on, sir.
About 300 years ago.
Come on.
We don't know who the person is, but we do know that somebody positioned them to wake up on a piece of land that would 30 years ago eventually be called the New Covenant Campus. And therefore, I was now able to find them. Where? On the New Covenant Campus. I found the results of them. I found the waking reality of them on the New Covenant campus. They were sleeping. Somebody positioned them to wake up, and they woke up right where that individual or individuals positioned them. And they manifested the reality of their being awake and alive. Now, these are alive, but they're not awake. Not alive. Taking my time. So did we see the slide with a picture of the acorn? Did we see the slide with a picture of the acorn? Okay. When we go to sleep, we're not conscious of who we are or where we are. Until someone or some situation wakes us up. On Tuesday of this week, something happened. A gigantic 985-foot long vessel lost power. Lost power and began to drift. A gigantic vessel, 985-pound vessel. No, 985-foot vessel lost power and began to drift. The captain put out a mayday call saying it's an emergency. And the ship continued to drift with all its capacity and all its power, all its ingenuity, the dynamics. It began to drift until it drifted where? Into one of the foundation supports of the bridge. The captain couldn't control it because it's drifting. There's nothing he could have done because it's drifting. He's lost power. He can't steer it. Can you imagine driving a car and the steering wheel breaks off? Being on the highway, you're driving the car on a highway and the steering wheel breaks off the car. In addition to saying, "Help me, Jesus," what else? That's what happened that day on Tuesday. Wow. The ship lost power. The captain could do nothing. With all his knowledge, his know-how, his education, his skills, he could do nothing. Why? Because the ship lost power. The electric grill closed down, and the ship was adrift. And I can see the captain seeing this big bridge in front of him, but there's nothing he can do. There's nothing he could have done. And the ship ran into one of the foundations of the bridge. And if you break down the foundation, the bridge is going to collapse. And that's what happened. So, the loss of power. The loss of power. I plan when I leave here, tomorrow sometime, to position these four seeds to wake up. I plan to do that. And how do you wake them up? How do you wake up any seed? Because every seed has potential and power. Every seed has life. Every seed. But how do you wake it up? Huh? Huh? You put it in the ground, you plant it. You plant it. I make sure there's water. Somebody, about 300 years ago, planted some seeds like these in a piece of land which we now call New Covenant Campus. And for those old timers, remember when we were building this sanctuary, we had left Ardley and Johnson Street because our contract was up, and we came to the campus and we had services outdoors called what? Cathedrals of the Oaks. Every Sunday we had service outside under the oak trees. And there was no rain. Until the day we walked into this building.
That's true.
You remember that?
Yeah, I remember.
The day we walked into this building, it rained and rained and rained. And I said, God, you're something else.
Thank you, Jesus.
You remember that?
Yes.
It rained. All the time we were worshiping under those trees, there was no rain. And the one day, the contractor says, you can move into this church. And we moved in and poured and poured and poured. I think God was laughing. I honestly believe God was having a time laughing. It poured and poured and poured. You wake it up by putting it to work. You wake up these miracles by putting them to work. When you put them in the soil and make sure it's moist, something happens from the inside of these bulbs. Life begins to manifest itself. And after a while, you see something coming up. And as a result of that, we have these major, mighty oak trees on this campus. Somebody put them to work. It's like you're having money in your pocket. It's not creating interest. Am I true or false? You don't take your money out and say, oh man, this thing just made 10% interest. It isn't going to make 10% interest in your pocket. Now I put it in my pocket, I may give you 1% interest. But somebody planted these and put them to work and woke them up in the ground. And that's one of the reasons why we have these majestic trees on this campus. Many of them are oaks. Somebody planted them and put them to work. Starting with the little things. Sometimes we think to get big miracles, we have to have big things. Don't we? Big things. And yet big miracles can come from small things. But we have not programmed to recognize the potential of the small things. There's something about our society that blocks us from recognizing the potential of little things and little people. But when you build relationships with children, you are doing something that will positively, well, the right relationships with children, you're doing something that will positively impact their lives for generations. I told someone yesterday that they had done something for a child, and I said, 50 years from now, that child will remember you. Will remember you. 50 years from now. I still remember persons who spoke into my life 50 years ago and 60 years ago. They're all gone now. They're all gone. But the person whose life they spoke is alive and benefited from what they shared. I remember the person who said to me, I just did it, says, when you're speaking, don't say Do you know what I mean? When you're speaking, don't say It's a habit. It's a bad habit. The person says, when you're speaking, just speak. I learned to do that. Left out the arms. I'm watching my time, so. There are big things that can come from small situations, small touches. And just this week, that big cargo ship, loaded, absolutely loaded, lost power and began to drift. Whenever we lose power, we begin to drift. Whenever we lose power, we begin to drift. The tragedy is that so many people don't know they've lost power. The scriptures say, it is God who gives us power. The book of Acts, you shall receive power. You shall receive power. When? When the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses, which means you'll have the potential, the energy, to be my witnesses in where? Judea, Samaria, and the utmost parts of the world. When you receive power, can you lose that power? Is it possible to receive power and lose it? Is it possible to lose not simply the power, but the sense of the power, the consciousness of the power? Because you have no power if you don't have the consciousness of the power. Are you there? You have no power if you don't have the consciousness of it. I appreciate Elder Duckett and her dear husband. Where is he? I have to add him too, so I wouldn't get into trouble. Where is he? Oh, there he is, there. I appreciate both of you. But you know, there are areas in which she helps me in very subtle ways. And I appreciate it. I do. Now, the person just coughed. I like him too. Why don't you stand? This is my buddy. This is my buddy. If I had an emergency at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I called him, he'd be there. Because it has to do with the relationships we build. The power is in the relationships we build. And I can know this if I have an emergency. I don't have to wonder who can I call. There are many, many persons in this church I feel I can call. And they wouldn't feel upset that I've awakened them. Why? Because of relationship. Am I making sense?
Yeah.
The mighty ship drifted. Imagine if you were the captain of that ship, loaded with merchandise, realizing you've lost power and there's nothing you can do. Nothing. You're watching this ship drifting along. There's nothing you can do. He sent out a mayday call. Mayday, mayday. But there was nothing around to help. And even if there was something around, it couldn't help a ship of that size. Because that's one of the biggest ships built. Totally helpless. Totally helpless. And maybe, God might have been in the fact of that ship ramming that bridge. Because if it had not rammed that bridge, which would stop it from drifting, who knows where it would have gone? Who knows? Who could imagine where it would have gone? So there are times when we see things as accidents and bad and terrible. We have to stop and say, could God be in that? Could God be in that? I'll tell you something. God is in everything. He has to be. God is in everything. He has to be. If he's not in everything, he couldn't be God. Amen. He's in everything that deals with you and your family. Yes, Lord. And he is the Alpha and the Omega, which means the beginning and the end. He knew you. God knew you. Now, your mother, when did your mother know you? Come, I'm talking to you. When do you think your mom knew you?
Before I was born.
Before you were born, she knew. She didn't know exactly who you were and who you would be. She just knew she had something in her.
That's right. Yeah.
But when you came out of her.
Then she really got to know
you. She really got to know you. And she knew you were a girl.
Yes.
That's right. God knows your end from when? From your beginning. And God knows everything, the end of everything, from its beginning. I became involved in the church at age 11. We were a Roman Catholic family, and now I'm involved in a non-Catholic church. And I built a relationship with the pastor who has made me his helper. That pastor, in apart from the fact that my biological father was responsible for my being alive, being here. Am I with me? You with me?
Yes.
My biological father was responsible for my being here. But apart from that responsibility, my pastor has done more for me than my father since I've been around, since I've been alive. And so my mother couldn't understand why I'm so caught up in this church. It wasn't the religion, it wasn't the building, it was the relationship. The relationship. It was a relationship that caused me to go back and back and back and back and back and be active, very active, become a 12 and 13 and 14 and the youth leader and president of the youth ministries. My pastor drove me to a country church to run my first revival when I was 13. He saw something in me. And he couldn't know that I would one day succeed him as pastor of that church. But there's some things you'll never know about people if you don't build the relationships. Drifted. Lost power and drifted. Could we have the next slide, please? The next slide. This little acorn. This little acorn had the power and the potential to produce a mighty oak tree. And that oak tree is on this campus. Remember I said about 300 years ago, somebody woke it up by putting it in the ground? That's the result of their act of putting it in the ground to wake it up. And it woke up. That's the result of it. It's a massive tree, and there's several of them on the campus. Several. And the person who planted it didn't live to see it, because I don't know of anybody around here who is 300 years old. But when you do something that is right and good, it will live after you. You will be in the grave, but what you have done for someone or for God will continue to live and generate grandchildren, as it were.
Yes.
And great-grandchildren. Now, I want you to do something for me. Look at the roots. The mighty oak from that little acorn. Look at the roots. What message or messages are those roots saying? What messages can you get from looking and examining those roots? Now, those roots are just the part of the roots that are above ground. But the roots below ground are many, many times bigger than that, deeper than that, because unless it's deep, it couldn't survive. We had a tree that was blown down on the campus this week. But this particular tree, which is right out here, across from Eagles Hall, had the roots spread out. And the roots deep down in the soil, giving it moisture, sustenance, stability. But what is unique about those roots?
Strength.
Anybody? What's unique about it? Yes.
Strength.
By the way, do we have a mic? Do we have some mics, please? The question is, what's unique about it? What messages? We sometimes aren't programmed to see messages. We rush past things, and we don't observe. Could there be more than one mic? Could we have more than one mic? Okay. Right over here. Mm-hmm. And by the way, it's two sentences. That's the law.
I have one word. Strength.
Was that strength? You see strength in that. Look, another hand back there, brother. You see strength in that.
The vastness of
Pardon
the,
me?
The vastness
the
of the
vastness,
roots.
The spread of the roots to maintain the support of a massive oak tree. Go ahead.
Durability.
They're reading, what they're doing, they're reading the roots. They're getting messages from the roots, just looking at the roots. Just looking at the surface roots. Because we can't see the ones that are below the surface. But just examining the surface roots, you can figure out something. Go ahead.
They're anchored.
Oh, love, I can't hear you.
They're anchors.
Huh?
They are anchors.
I can't hear you. I want to speak right.
Anchors.
Anchored. They're anchored.
They serve as anchors.
Anchored. That tree is anchored. And anchored means that it can withstand the storms and the tests. It has the depth and the width of the roots. It's anchor. That's a beautiful word. Anchor.
Over here.
The roots, seen and unseen.
The seen and the unseen.
Have it firmly rooted.
Yes.
The tree firmly rooted.
Yes, permanently rooted. The seen, the unseen. And yet the seen can give us some sense of the depth of the unseen. Are you there? You're there. Okay, anyone else?
Over here.
Over here.
Okay, so it looks like to me that the old...
Where's the person? Where's the person?
Standing
okay,
up.
Okay, go ahead. Loudly so I
right
can hear
in front
you.
Of your face. Okay, it looks like the old roots are underneath and the new ones are on top, so it's...
Okay, gotcha. I can't hear you. What? Can you hear? I can hear, but I can't understand.
Old roots underneath the grass. Probably our ancestors, or I don't know. I don't want to say that, but it looks like the new roots, God's showing us like this new beginning, stronger, better. Underneath is the old.
The new growth.
Maybe.
The new growth.
If I'm wrong.
New growth.
Show you new better.
Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Go ahead. Loudly.
The potential of the tree
loudly,
spread.
Loudly.
The potential of the tree has spread larger. Got okay, bigger.
I'm coming so I can hear you clearly.
The potential of the tree it has spread.
Speak to the mic so everybody can hear you.
The potential of the tree has spread into different soils and different areas. And
okay,
started
the
to
potential.
Affect, yeah, started to affect other things.
Yes, the potential. It shows. It shows the potential of the tree in the spread of its roots, the capacity to absorb water. It's anchored. It's anchored. Anyone else? Yes.
The Bible says, despise not small beginnings.
Yes. The Bible says, despise not small beginnings.
The root system shows equilibrium.
The root system shows what?
Equilibrium.
Equilibrium.
Equilibrium. Yes. And it's concentric. So that all the roots around would be at the very same distance throughout the around the tree.
All the roots are spread out. Okay, all the roots are spread out around the trunk of the tree, giving it balance and support. Did you say something?
I'd like to.
Sure, you'd like to. Tell me and I'll repeat it.
Roots. There are many roots that have grown from the one that hold up the one.
There are many roots that have grown from the main one that is holding up the tree. Mm-hmm. Many roots. Many roots. Many roots, yes.
We have a little
stability.
Guy.
Stability. When we lose power, we begin to drift. And power gives us stability. It anchors us. It anchors us. Anyone else?
Good. Right here?
Yes.
Right here?
A little child. Okay, I'm coming. I'm coming, sir, because I want everyone to hear. I'm looking at my time.
It demonstrates the health of the tree.
It demonstrates the hope. The health of the tree is demonstrated as you look at the roots. Go ahead. Tell me.
The roots are telling you that I am here to stay.
Oh! Wow!
Wow!
Good job, baby. Good job.
The roots. The roots tell him that I'm here to stay.
That's all right.
Where there are no solid roots, we drift. We're not there to stay. The roots say, I'm here to stay. Wow. That is awesome. I mean, that is awesome. Give him another hand, please. He has something else to tell me.
Amen. That was a message.
You have something else to say? Okay.
Aries.
Aaron?
Yeah.
Aries.
Okay. I would like to get his name and phone number, please, after the service. Wow. There's another one? Who is that? Where's the other person? Okay, back here.
Yes. The roots are demonstrating distance. Where it started is not
Could you start again so I can hear you, please?
The roots are demonstrating distance. It has a far reach, far from where it began. Just like ministries, it starts one place, but it can spread far
away. The seed was sown
away.
One spot, and the roots show the distance of its influence.
Yes.
Wow. 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 Anyone else?
The roots mean
the tree became a bigger asset to its environment.
What's that? What's that?
The tree became a bigger asset to its environment.
Well, I can't. I
the
didn't
tree.
Understand.
The tree.
What's that?
The tree.
Loudly.
The tree became a big asset to its environment.
Yes, it's an asset to the environment. It's an asset to the environment.
Okay, the roots represent time, because you can't just jump into something. It takes time to develop.
It takes time to develop. It takes time. It takes time to develop. It takes time, which suggests don't always judge people where they are today.
Go ahead.
Because it takes time, not just for trees, but for people to develop. And the person you may throw away today might become something significant tomorrow. Anyone else?
The determination to grow.
What's that?
Determined to grow.
Determined to grow.
It was determined. The tree was determined to grow. It was determined to grow. Go ahead.
The seed had to die.
The seed had to die
first.
It was alive.
Before the roots became strong.
Yes.
The seed had to die.
Yes. The life was in the seed. The life is in the seed. The life is in the seed. But it had to be deposited in the ground. Deposited in the ground. We prefer so many times to carry the seeds in our pockets. But the seeds that I have here in my pocket will never produce anything. They will stay in my pocket. And sometimes you have to take things out of your pocket and plant them. You have to take things out of your mind and plant them in somebody else's brain. You have to take the big ideas you're thinking about and plant them to somebody else. And realize that when you plant them, the person might be small, but they'll grow up with them. And they'll become part of your harvest because you did the planting.
Yep. Roots provide reinforcement also for the tree. So whatever work
Go
the tree-
Go slowly so I can hear you. I can
Oh, sorry. So the roots provide reinforcement for the tree.
The root what?
Provide reinforcement.
Yes, the roots provide reinforcement for the tree.
So whatever the job is, if it's to shade somebody.
Yes.
Whether it's to provide strength. For the community, whether it's to provide oxygen.
The roots
provide
support
that.
Them and provide a number of nutrients for the tree.
The roots are superficial.
The roots are what?
Superficial.
What's
on
that?
The surface.
Yeah, superficial.
Yeah. under normal circumstances, they should be in the soil, but there may be a rock that prevents it. So it has to spread to be anchored, like the young man said, I've come to stay.
Yeah, but in that particular case, okay, but if you look at those roots, it would be very difficult for a rock to prevent it, because it is determined to take over. It's spreading.
It's spreading.
It's spreading its presence. Its presence. And there might very well have been.
But it should be in the soil to be anchored.
Yeah, but what you're seeing there is just the surface.
Yes.
Of the roots.
Yes.
There's a depth in there. Because if those roots were not that deep, that tree couldn't be standing. And we have several oak trees that are there. And we had a tree that the wind this week blew it down. It's a totally different type of tree. Okay. But if we are not anchored, we will drift.
Except a corn of wheat drops to the ground and die, it abideth alone. But because of the depth of that tree and the depth, it brings forth more fruit.
That's right.
So it's a fruit-bearing tree. And if I may say this, and it's a little, I get a little teary-eyed, and you're talking about people speaking into your life,
yes,
as a little ordinary
11-year-old
person, and they put a potential in you, my mind immediately went to Pastor Hyacinth.
Yes.
And all that she spoke into my life while she was still. So she dropped seeds inside of me. And because of the seeds on the inside of me, I am growing like a tree.
Wow. Wow. I could not be the man I am if it had not been for the investment Pastor Hyacinth made in me.
Yes.
Almost 60 years. The wisdom. Now, I know the Pastor Bob says we have to dismiss at a certain time. So we'll probably have a part two at a later time. But something happens in our lives when we lose the power. Just as that ship, as powerful as it was, lost electric power and drifted. Something happens when we don't stay in touch with the power. But can we lose the power? Is it possible to lose the power? I probably need to end with that. Is it possible to lose the power? There's a passage of scripture. Let me get it to you. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be witnesses for me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the utmost parts of the earth." What happens with the power when we don't use it? When we don't use it for its purpose? When we don't use it for its purpose? Here's what we have in Psalm 51, the psalm from David. David cries out in Psalm 51, "Have mercy upon me, O God. According to the loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercy, blot out my transgression." Now, David had a problem, a sexual problem, and he's now confessing it and repenting before God. He says, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be that in thy sight, that you may be found just when you speak. And then he continues in verse 11. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your spirit from me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your spirit from me. Which suggests it's possible to lose the power. Possible. If we don't repent before the Lord. And when we lose it, we continue drifting, just drifting and drifting, drifting. But let me finalize this very quickly. The power of God is always available to us, and it's most active in our lives when we are obeying God and doing what the power is there for. Do you ever go into your house and see all the lights on? And you ask, who turned on all these lights? No, he didn't do it. No, he did not do it. He didn't do it. Somebody left all the lights on. What is happening? You're wasting power. You're wasting power. And you're going to pay for it, because the bill is going to come in. The same is true for life. When we waste the power, we pay the price. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you be my witnesses. That's the purpose of the power of the Holy Spirit. My witnesses. And your roots are spread as you witness. Your stability is more definite as you witness. Because when you're witnessing, you're saying to the world or to persons, it's not about me, it's Jesus. Whatever you see in me, it's Jesus. He is from the beginning to the end. There's nothing about you that God doesn't know. And there's nothing about you where God wasn't present. Why? He had to be present. Because he's God. And he's everywhere. Amen. So once you realize that there's nothing you can do, not that God doesn't know it, but he isn't present when you're doing it, it gives you the ability to take advantage of the power and to stop drifting. And many of you, and I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up, many of you know people who you feel are just drifting. Some are friends and some are relatives that are drifting and stuck. They hit a bridge in their lives and they're stuck. And some of us have drifted and we're stuck, if you would be honest. But there's something about the captain, our captain. He's always present. And his system, his electric system, always works. And I can always come to him, regardless of what my situation is. I can always come to him and call him. And he'll say, don't speak so loudly, I'm right here. Where shall I go from your presence? And where shall I flee from your spirit? I'm going to ask Pastor Oliver for another opportunity at some time. I need your prayers, because I leave here tomorrow to travel. And I'll be ministering, and I'll be away for several Sundays. So when you don't see me there Sunday, don't think I'm ill. But I need your prayers as I minister in different places. different countries. God would give me wisdom and strength. Shall we pray? I give you thanks, O Lord, for your presence and your spirit. I thank you to the pastor who led this 11-year-old boy to you and saw something in him. Something in him that pastor could have invested in. I'm so grateful, very grateful. I thank you for your word. Thank you for wisdom. We thank you for every single person here today. That every person would examine his or her life and his or her roots and take a thorough analysis of where he or she is. Let your Holy Spirit speak to all of us and direct our path and make us aware of your presence. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You know, we can never, never lose the power, but we can lose consciousness of the power. You can't lose the power, but you can lose consciousness of the power. When you lose consciousness of the power, you lose consciousness of his presence. God bless you. Pastor.
Thank you for joining us in service today. We pray that this ministry has been a blessing to you and your family. To give your gift of love and help keep this ministry on the air, visit nccop.church/giving for all of the ways that you can donate to the ministry. Thank you so much for your generosity, and God's blessings until we meet again.